for each form or fill in, which is very much appreciated. And so, but God has a way of using us and saying, this is what I want you to go, this is what I want you to teach. And it's still out of Genesis. And Genesis chapter 20, and it's actually just jumping a little bit ahead here from Pastor's last sermon, and it's about Abraham and Abimelech. And I entitled this sermon, How Does God Respond to Our Failures? You know, when you read Scripture, it's... I love reading the Bible because one of the things is it puts everything in there. It doesn't just put in the good stuff, you know, the exciting things, the things that, man, just make you, wow, I wish I could be like that. It also puts in the failures of the patriarchs and things that you're not supposed to do. And that's what we're going to kind of find out and what how God responded to that. So in Genesis chapter 18, God tells Abraham and Sarah they were going to have a son in a year. That's pretty bold, right? You're going to have a son in a year. And then also in that chapter, Abraham intercedes for Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember, there was three men that showed up. One of those was Christ before, and two angels. And if you remember right, one stayed behind, and that was God. And Abraham spoke with him, and he said, you know, why should I hide what I'm going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah from Abraham? And so he tells him, and Abraham intercedes and says, hey, you know, if there's 40 righteous, we'd just burn it up. God's like, no. Okay, wait a second, God. Okay, how about 20 and 30? How about 10? You know, if there's anybody there, would you fry it, you know? And he intercedes for it. And then we get to chapter 19, and the angels show up in Sodom, and they pull Lot out of Sodom and his family, and also God destroys Sodom and Gomorrah, and then you'll also read about Lot and his daughters. And you know, you read that story about Lot and his daughter, and you're like, oh my gosh. Oh, Lord, why'd you put that in there? But then you find out that one of the babies that came out of the incestual, is that the right word? Incestual relationship between the daughter and a father will become the Moabites. And if you know your Bible, Ruth was a Moabite. And so God can use anybody, and he does, and he will use you. All right? Now, have you ever did something that wasn't so smart? Yeah? You ever, like, hey, yeah. You ever tried to cover it up? You ever tried to lie about it? Abraham did all these in our story. We can be hard on ourselves, right? And when we do something stupid or we fail in a relationship and then all of a sudden nobody loves me. We fail at a job and all of a sudden I'm a loser, right? We fail in education and all of a sudden I'm stupid. But God has a different idea of us. God responds differently. Where we see failure, God sees potential. He sees an opportunity to show his great love and his mercy. And how do I know this, you ask? Because I've failed many a times. And God is able to move through it. I'd tell my kids stories when they were younger. I'd tell them stories about when I was little. And I have to tell you, I wasn't the brightest little boy. One time, I was really young, 20 or something. No, I was really young, like, I can't remember, it was really young. And I had, on a cartoon, saw a boomerang. I'm going to make a boomerang, I thought. And so I got two pieces of wood and nailed it together. That was my boomerang. And I took it and I heaved it up in the air while I was standing under a tree. Well, the boomerang disappeared. It worked, I thought. Well, it was caught in the tree until it fell out and cracked me on the top of the head, and blood was gushing out all over, and I run into the house. Oh, Mom! It was a failure. And God still uses me. Right? So I've learned how true 2 Timothy is, and you know, if you take OSL, this is going to be one of your memory verses, 2 Timothy 3:16-17, and how to apply it. And it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. When we read and study Scripture, we are to learn from it, and then we're also supposed to apply it. And I want to look at four things that we can learn from our text, and the first is God still forgives us when we fail. God still protects us when we fail. God still blesses us when we fail, and God still uses us when we fail. And so, if you have a Bible, you can turn to Genesis. It's kind of a lengthy scripture, but it's important. And we're going to read in its entirety very quickly. And it starts out in verse 20. It says, and Abraham journeyed from there to the south and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and stayed in Gerar. Now Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream at night and said to him, indeed, you are a dead man, because of the woman you have taken, and she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come to her near her, and he said, Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Did he not say, she is my sister? And she even herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands, I have done this. And God's said to him in a dream, yes, I know that you've done this in the integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now, therefore, restore the man's wife. He is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. So Abimelech rose early in the morning, called all his servants, and told them the things of their hearing, and the men were very much afraid. And Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done to us? How have you offended? How have I offended you that you have brought me on in my kingdom this great sin? You have done deeds to me that ought not to be done. Then Abimelech said to Abraham, what did you have in view that you have done these things? And Abraham said, because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will kill me on account of my wife. But indeed, she is truly my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said to her, this is your kingdom, this is your kindness, and that you should do for me in every place, wherever you go, say to me, he is my brother. And Abimelech took oxen and male and female servants and gave them to Abraham, and he restored Sarah, his wife, to him. And Abimelech said, see, the land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you. And Sarah, he said, behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Indeed, it vindicates you before all who are with you and before everybody. Thus she was rebuked. So Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, the female, his female servants. Then they bore children, for the Lord had closed up all the wombs in the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. What an interesting story that we have here. And so the first thing I want to look at is God still forgives us when we fail. Now Abraham leaves where he was and he goes south, but the scripture doesn't tell us why. I don't think he was to leave. I think he did it on his own, and he left. Maybe it was because he was upset about Sodom and Gomorrah. he contended with God for them, he would not have known that Lot was rescued. They didn't have cell phones, right? They didn't have, you know, Lot texted Abraham and said, got out by the mercies of God, you know, selfie, yeah. Right? He didn't put it on Facebook and say, here I am, right? So Abraham would have never known. So was he upset? Did he not think God answered his prayer? So when Abraham leaves, he also lies about his wife. And this is not the first time, right? It's not even 30 years before when he went to Egypt. He did the same thing in Genesis 12, 13. This makes Abraham a repeat offender, right? Here he is. He's, you know, now how many wives here would want to be introduced as, this is my sister, right? But this is what he's doing. But all through Scripture, we see God's grace. And the Old Testament talks about God's forgiveness. Because the overall theme of Scripture is forgiveness. That's why Christ came. To pay a price for us to be forgiven. In Psalms 86, 4 and 5, it says, rejoice, O my soul, of the servants, for to you, O Lord, I lift my soul. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those that call upon you. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. So God is always calling for forgiveness. He's always calling out to his people to say, you know, come to me. I will forgive you. I will help you. I will bless you. When Jesus shows up, and he's talking about forgiveness and grace, and he's talking to the disciples, Peter comes to him in Matthew 18, 21 and 22, and Peter came and to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? I mean, right? Is that seven? Yeah, that's seven. And, right? Now, the New Testament was not a new way of thinking for God. The New Testament isn't like God said, well, the Old Testament didn't work, let's make a new one. It's an extension of who God was. It was God coming to earth. It was God now coming and telling us. So what Jesus was saying, that this is what the Father is like. He is continually forgiving. He is continually, you know, when you come to him and you ask forgiveness, he will always forgive you. He will never turn you away. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will no wise turn you away. So we see that somehow we know that Abraham, here he has done these things, but yet God is still using him. Because Abraham would still believe in this God that called him. And the second thing I want to look at is God still protects us when we fail. In Genesis 26, and God said to him in a dream, he's talking to Abimelech, yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart, for I withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Just a scripture before that, I like God comes to Abimelech in a dream and says, Abimelech, you're a dead man. I mean, how would you like to wake up in the middle of the night and God says, just want to let you know you're a dead man. Now, that would kind of get you out of bed, right? Yeah, I'm going to get him to write that one down. Honey, God says I'm a dead man. But this was God's protection for Abraham and Sarah. God had just promised Sarah that she would have a son in 1 year. Now, I've been around long enough, and I've had 6 kids, that I know it from conception to birth is about 9 months. Right? It doesn't change a whole lot. And so here, when a man takes Sarah, if something happened there, that's not good. Right? There would have been arguments. There would have been, whose son is he? God had made a promise, and he was going to fulfill it. When we fail, God does not say, you're on your own now. Take care of it. Right? If you look at the Israelites, how many times did they disbelieve? They complained. But God kept protecting them. God would continue to, he had a cloud over them during the day and a fire at night. And he kept protecting them. God is protecting the heart. God is protecting your heart. He may even use someone that's not even saved to bring correction to you to protect your heart. You ever had somebody that maybe you just didn't really like, and they come and bring correction to you? That could be God protecting your heart. Maybe in your mind you're thinking of going the wrong direction. God used Abimelech to bring correction to Abraham. If you read the scripture, and it says in Genesis 29 and 10, and Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, "What have you done to us? How have I offended you that you have brought on me and my kingdom a great sin?" I mean, he's chewing him out, right? He is like, "Abraham, you're a knucklehead. What have you done? You have done deeds to me that ought not to be done." And Abimelech said to Abraham, "What did you have in view that you had done this thing?" He was thinking, you know, what are you trying to do? You trying to take my kingdom? What are you trying to do? You trying to wipe us out? What are you trying to do? But because of this correction, it protects our heart. It might be a parent. You're a teenager. You don't like parents giving you correction, right? Sometimes that correction, it's hard to swallow. Maybe you're at work and it's that coworker that just rubs you the wrong way, and now he's bringing you correction. And it might even be your spouse. That's the roughest one of all, right? And there, and your spouse is correcting you. I know that from firsthand experience. So, but it's God protecting our heart. God wants our heart to be clean and pure before him and to keep us going, because we can get ourselves off on the wrong trail, and before long we find out we're lost out here somewhere and we need to get back. And we cry out to God. And God still blesses us when we fail. You know, we have the idea that God should not bless anyone that's being disobedient. It kind of rubs us the wrong way, right? Of course, unless it's us. Right? And then it's like, ooh, yeah, keep pouring on, God. Look what happens next, though, in the text. And it says then in 14 and 15, "And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and male and female servants and gave them to Abraham. And he restored Sarah, his wife, to him. And Abimelech said, 'See, the land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you.'" God made a covenant with Abraham, and God was sticking to it. God made a covenant with you, and he's sticking to it. He's not going back on his word. This text, Abimelech is giving Abraham a monetary amount, and I don't want you to think that the only blessing is somehow this monetary amount. I think the big blessing here is Abimelech obeyed the Lord. He didn't know the Lord. He didn't know God. God spoke to him, and he obeyed. And he listened, and he did what was done. So, have you ever done something wrong? And you knew it was wrong. Then you're waiting judgment. The hammer's going to come down. I know it. You start sweating. You're like, oh my gosh. But then the judgment never comes. God is slow to anger. Psalms 103:8 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. Psalms 145:8 that says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. And God is always pouring out his love on us. Romans 5:5 says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given to us. He'll still bless us. He wants to bless us. A lot of times we beat ourselves up. When we do something wrong, we fail in some way and then we beat ourselves up. We don't need to beat ourselves up. What God wants us to do is just make it right. Just go and keep going. And God still uses us when we fail. You know, I didn't even have this in my notes, but Laura and I were talking before we came in, and why are Laura and I out in Hillsboro? Well, Laura and I are out in Hillsboro because we came to plant a church years ago. And I think we had of all of about 4 people at one time, right? A lot of chairs got saved that couple of years. And so we went back to the church we were and spent another 7 years there. Now, we could have went and said, we're failures. Maybe God didn't call us to do what we thought we were called to do. No, he did call us. Maybe it wasn't the right timing. Maybe it wasn't exactly what he wanted us to do. But he called us to do it. In Genesis 20:17, it says, and Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, his female servants, and they bore children. In verse 7, God still called Abraham his prophet. It says, for he is my prophet. He did not say he was my prophet. God does not say you are a child, you do something wrong, and he says, okay, he was my child. Right? You're still his child. God still used Abraham to heal Abimelech. He still used him. God still wants to use us. If we fail, whatever happens. King David failed big time. He repented. And he was still used by God. He was known as the man after God's own heart. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And an angel specifically asked that Peter be called when Jesus rose from the dead. He was still counted as one of the apostles. Failure is never final. If it was, we'd all be done for, because ball failed somewhere, sometime. And I remember hearing a quote a long time ago, if you've never failed, if there's anybody here that's never failed, it's because you've never done anything. Sometimes we take risk. As me and Lori were talking, I guess that's not proper, Lori and I were talking about doing something for God and stepping out. Peter stepped out of the boat, and people say he failed because he sank. No, the 11 failures were still on the boat. Peter got out. Step out. They're going to have outreach and go out into community. Step out. Somebody might get mad. Step out. So what? You know, I've handed out thousands. My wife and I, we've gone door to door. We've handed out tracts. We've preached on the street. wife's pretty good at street preaching too. Had her preaching at a college one time with a guy named Jed Smock. That was pretty awesome. Now, I don't want you to think that failure or sin is no big deal. It is a big deal if we don't deal with it. If we don't deal with it, it can be devastating. We see that through Scripture. God was patient with Israel. And God is patient with us. But sin that is not dealt with will easily bring us into bondage. Romans 6, 1 and 2, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace abound? What does Paul say? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Now, Abraham was not wealthy because of his shrewd business sense or because God rewarded him for his great integrity. He was prosperous because God promised to bless him and make him a great nation. The blessing was independent of his performance or what he deserved. It was purely the favor of God that made him rich. And in the same way, your efforts are not the source of your prosperity in your life. It's not the effort that we put through. It's the blessing of God. It's the salvation of Christ. God is full of grace and mercy. And I'm going to leave you with four things as I close. Here are the four things that you can do if you've ever failed or sinned. Is first one is run to God and ask Him why if you don't know why. It's the first thing to do, run to God. The second thing is if God shows that you failed because you erred or sinned, confess your sin or your failure. Name it for what it is. Don't try to hide it. She's my sister, right? Don't try to hide it. Confess it. Then make it right with God and with men, if necessary, and it helps clear the air. Number three, throw yourself on God's mercy and His counsel. We have to throw ourselves on Him and His mercy. Number four, remember the character of God and remember His promises. Cling to them. You have His promises to cling to. Psalms 119:31 says, cling to the testimonies, O Lord, do not put me to shame. The secret of recovering from failure is to continue to cling to God. We are here to help teach you. That's why we do OSL. To teach you to cling to God, to learn His Word, but not just to learn His Word, but to take that Word and apply it to your lives. Inspiring deeper lives means more than knowing Scripture, but taking that Scripture and putting it into your life. 1 John 5:4 says, this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. We have overcome. We're overcomers. If you've ever failed, be of good cheer. You're in a great company. Abraham. Amen? All right. Sing's gonna sing us. Steve is going to lead us in worship, and we're going to have communion.